I was just wondering if there was a nice segue into electric car. If you really want me to talk about it, I can.
Welcome to Fraculous, a technology podcast for humans. Episode 340. Tracking children and animals, new Apple Watches, and COVID-19. Recorded January 2022. Humans are weak.
Have you ever considered changing your surname to Tech?
Tech.
Jeff.
I have this bad feeling that that's how we're going to start this podcast, isn't it? That's the opening line. Oh, no. Why do you always pick on me? Why
actually,
am I the fall guy?
Technically tech 1, is it? Or is it Tech 2? I can't remember.
What?
Your YouTube handle, unless you've gone and got the actual Jeff Tech.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm Tech 2, because somebody else got in like a week before I did.
Oh.
That was back in like 2006.
And you didn't know back then?
No.
What you know now?
I know. I have no idea why I didn't. Yeah, you know, when people say at the end of your life, you know, and you're on your deathbed, do you have any regrets? my regret would be, yes, not signing up to YouTube earlier. Or making more videos. Do you know, I spent like 4 years living in America, and I didn't really, like, vlogging wasn't a thing. Like,
no.
If it had been a thing, but I should have totally done, I should have made more videos whilst in America.
But the audience wasn't there then.
But think of the amazing archive back catalogue I'd have had.
True.
I could have been the Casey Neistat of South Carolina.
Oh, they would call it being Jeff Marshall rather than Casey Neistat.
That's a great segue into our first topic.
I was going to say, just imagine if Casey Neistat was now bumming around New York on and off the subway, making cool videos about the metro system there, and making jokes about this Jeff Marshall fella who's owning YouTube.
Yeah, man. That still might be a life goal. To go to America and make a video with Casey on a train.
Have you seen Casey recently, Jeff?
Ah, well, you're asking a question, William Head. Yes, but no, but yeah, but yeah, sort of virtually, yes. I have seen exclusive footage. Which not many other people have seen.
Okay, you're teasing me now, boys. What's going on?
Oh, David, you not know?
No.
Oh, Will, does David not know? Did you not tell him?
I think David... I thought you were going to tell David.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
You have a way of communicating with David via memes.
He was texting me about something random. What David does, listeners, is that he obviously... he is an international megastar himself of TV and media fame. David often travels to random hotels. And David always likes to send me pictures of the hotel he's staying in. So my phone will just randomly bing one day, and it'll be David going, here's where it's like a picture, or David, can you, why do you do this?
Well, yes, I mean, most specifically, I do send you pictures of the artwork on the wall, and how that started off was a particular hotel near to New Broadcasting House in central London, the Holiday Inn Regent's Park, has artwork that is themed around transport, and in particular, it's got some great pictures of metro systems from around the world, and I was on a fairly busy stint down there, staying there for quite a few nights and sending you pictures of, oh, wow, look at this metro system. I never knew that existed.
And it's now set up a running gag where you just send me a picture regardless, right?
Yeah, basically. And I think last week's hotel, I think we would struggle to call that picture art, really, wouldn't we? But hey, you know what? We've established the convention and I didn't want to let the team get down. Anyway,
David, what you don't know is that about a month ago, God, it might have been last year, December, Mr. Neistat himself posted a video and sent out a message to his loyal followers, all 12 million of us.
And everyone on Instagram, because I see it I don't follow him. It's just, it's in my Instagram story ads. Every third story is Casey's course.
You can sign up via the website monthly.com, which I knew of because Mark Rober, the engineer YouTuber, did a thing where he was like, teach you how to be an engineer. He did it like first a year ago. And Casey is now basically doing here's everything I know about video production and how I make my videos. And it's a month long daily course. And I paid and I signed up and it started just 2 days ago that we're recording this. And there's like a daily thing you have to do and you log in. And a lot of it is just like instructional videos from him going, here's what I need you to do today. And then he sort of sets you like a daily task to go off and do a thing. Yeah, I'm doing it.
So is there a community around this, or is it he makes a video?
Absolutely. So you sign in and you have your peer group, and there's 20 of you, and they're from all around the world. So there's literally like, I've been chatting to someone in Germany and someone in Brazil. And you click through and you can see the profile and pictures, and you all have to introduce yourself and say what you hope to get out of the course. You know, it's a bit like Alcoholics Anonymous. Hello, my name's Jeff and I make videos. And the first thing you had to do was to, Casey made a video of him walking around sort of the back streets and alleyways of Chinatown, downtown Manhattan, Union Street, going, I'm going out to get ideas for a video. And he encouraged you to do the same. And you then had to post pictures of where you went on your walk. And one of the pictures was then a thing that you're going to turn into an idea. And today's video was like, right, you know, he was showing you how he gets his wide shots and his close-ups and all that kind of stuff and the structure. So he's hand-holding you step by step through all the basic stuff. And it's kind of cool. And you get to leave comments on other people's photos and ask them what they do, and people ask questions. So, yeah.
So it's a masterclass, and masterclasses, of course, is a thing that I know we've spoken about before, but this is Casey Neistat's own masterclass. And what do you get at the end of it? Do you get a certificate? Do you get a pair of sunglasses?
Well, I'm hoping that he might pop up with, like, at the very least, you'd think he'd come on for like a personal Zoom chat or something, right? You'd think
some sort of graduation ceremony.
Yeah, I think that should be a maybe that should be a I don't know. But during the course of 30 days, you get to make two videos, right? So this is what the first one's got to be done by Sunday. This Sunday, I'm so not going to hit the deadline. But I feel like the first one is going to be like, okay, everybody has a first attempt, and then maybe he assesses them and goes through them and tells you what he'd have done or how he'd have done it better, or maybe your peer group give each other feedback, and then you go.
He's probably going to get the peer group to do it, because then
and then you get to do a second one, which is presumably a bit more polished and high end, yeah. So at the end of it, I get two videos out of it.
So what's the kind of daily commitment to this course?
Well, yesterday he posted a video that was 47 minutes long.
So right. But then you've also got to do stuff as well.
Yeah. So I'm going out in 2 days' time to go and do a bit of... I've come up with an idea. Spoilers. I don't want to mention it here. And I'll have to go out and do it. So, but a lot of it is just watching his videos, and it's him showing you what he wants you to go and do. So he, right. Yeah. But, yeah. So he,
I have a couple of questions.
How much did it cost?
No, that's coming. What do you think you're going to get out of it, given that you are to some degree already a successful YouTuber?
Well, thank you. You're very kind. I would say that I'm a medium-sized YouTube slash successful. I get to post two videos, or maybe just one if the other one's rubbish, to my channel going, here's the video I made on Casey's course. So there's a bit of, what's the word? When you kind of, there's a word. Hang on. I'll think of the word in a minute. I genuinely hope to learn a few tips or tricks right along the way. And then I'll meet other people and just be like...
But there's no
maybe
real secrets to Casey's videos.
I mean, there you're getting into like...
You just have to watch his videos and you can tell how to make
them.
There's no magic.
But what if you don't have the skill to sit at home and think, oh, I wonder how he's done that. Oh, I know how he's done
but
that.
But you do if have that skill.
I do, yes, but some other people might not. Yeah. So you're right.
So why are you doing it?
Something to do during the dark months, the dark nights of January.
Don't you have videos to make for a YouTube channel?
Yeah, I'm doing that as well. Yeah, I'm really busy. Yeah. I haven't got time to do a podcast.
And how is the peer group thing? How is that working? Because for me, that would probably be the thing I'd be looking to get most out of.
It's a little bit Facebooky. So your peer group on the monthly.com website has like a wall, and everybody can post to the wall. And
so you can video chat with your peer group.
Not unless that's a feature which we've not yet unlocked.
Okay. No,
at the moment, it's like everybody just posts a thing, and you get to comment or give a heart or a thumb up, you know, to someone's thing that they've done, and you get to say, "Yay, I like this," or whatever. So yeah, we'll see. I definitely feel like there's things that are gonna. I hope there's an unlocking or a surprise or something that isn't obvious to us yet coming.
Yeah.
I hope. Yeah.
So far, do you think it's value for money?
Oh, yeah. Well, in terms of, like, he doesn't just sit there and go, he made like a 47-minute video showing you what he wanted you to do. Mm. And it was, and you could see it was with a cameraman and a sound guy, and he'd done it properly. So he's obviously put a lot of effort into making his instructional videos. He hasn't cut corners on at his end. So I feel like the fact that he's made the effort makes me feel like it's currently worth it. Yes.
And have you learned anything so far?
No. Well, today was like, here's how I get shots. And he was explaining, you know, the difference between, you know, like, hold it steady. No one wants to see a wobbly shot. And I'm like, right. I know that. Yeah.
No one wants to edit a wobbly shot. That's the thing.
And he's like, get a wide external establishing. I'm like, yeah, I know that. Mm. So, yeah. But it's nice that he's talking it through.
Do you think he's going to do that clicky zip out the frame thing? I think he's going to teach you that.
Probably. That hasn't come up yet. Yeah. Or split screen, or where he does the thing where he rotates the camera through 90 degrees and then he rotates it back, and then the edit is in the camera rotation.
The in camera edits. No.
Yeah. No. Well, but with motion, that's totally acceptable.
I know, but you're so tied to that edit. That's the thing.
Well, yeah.
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 You can't fix it in post.
But it is all in the edit. That's what I've learned so far. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm editing something right now that's just...
What, right now?
It is actually on my screen. You interrupted my evening's editing session. Well, that and checking the football scores. Oh, we're a goal down to do the podcast. But it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's all good. So probably on the next practice we do in a month's time. No, hopefully in a year's time.
Yeah. Who knows when? You never know when.
I'll have a more complete... When was the last one?
I can tell you exactly. It came out in April 2021.
It was the first of April.
Man.
I think we recorded it at the end of March.
So 8 months.
I think it was a day when Leicester City were playing against Tottenham Hotspur, Jeff.
I think it was as well. Yeah, I think Leicester were losing to Spurs that day, David. Sorry.
Perhaps. Yeah.
It's all good.
But you guys did an AirTags video since then. In which you...
Have we not discussed that?
You described it as a semi-regular podcast.
Right.
That was your closing line, David. You can find me on the semi-regular podcast, Fraculous.
Well, you've done everything possible, well, we have between us all, to break even the semi-regular thing and making it almost 12 months since we last spoke. But I'm pleased that we're here today. And it's not as though we don't speak throughout the rest of the year, just very rarely all three of us at the same time. So it's...
I like it every eight months. I think that's about right. I'm good with that.
Should we talk AirTags?
This episode of Fraculous is brought to you by ExpressVPN, the easiest way to protect your online privacy. So easy, even a human could do it. ExpressVPN secures and anonymously anonymizes your internet browsing by encrypting your data and hiding your public IP address. Turning on ExpressVPN protection only takes one single click, and there are easy-to-use apps that run seamlessly in the background whether you insist on using a tablet, phone or computer. ExpressVPN is rated the number one VPN service by fellow humans at techradar.com. ExpressVPN has a special offer just for humans that listen to Fraculous with their ears. You can get 3 months free without paying any money if you sign up for a 1 year package for a year. To sign up for a 1 year package and get 3 months free for free, and to show your support for the show, sign up at fraculous.com/expressvpn.
I mean, you made a video on them, didn't you?
Well,
we haven't spoken about.
Not in this context.
You were a guest star on Jeff's AirTags video.
Well,
and
I haven't.
What a star he was.
Well, bless you very kindly. So, and I do actually have something today, an update today to share on that. But I think what we need to do
exclusive
for I think what we need to do is to rewind. AirTags were announced at whatever the spring event that Apple did last year, March, April last year. I don't quite remember. And the long-awaited AirTags, these little discs that let you find things using Apple's pretty extensive Find My network, were released. And Jeff, you got in touch probably a month or two after the announcement to say, "Hey, Dave, how do you do? How do you fancy doing a thing?"
Do a thing, yeah.
So we came. Yeah.
Sorry, go on. No, you can do it. You can do it.
Well, the challenge was to find out if these air tags work on the London Underground. And
is that for a transport focused YouTube channel?
Yes. Jeff Tech 2, I think it probably is, or something like that. Jeff and I convened at King's Cross St Pancras, and we did a thing, didn't we? And this is probably where you should take over, Jeff.
I told David to take my AirTag and go somewhere within Zone 1, and I would wait 20 minutes and then see if my AirTag, find my locator, would pop up and tell me where David's location was. And I had to then go and track down David. And
but I guess the key thing is there's no GPS in an AirTag and no cellular connectivity. Well, no wireless connectivity other than an ultra-wideband to an iPhone.
And I told David to stay underground, deep down in a tunnel. And it genuinely, I was thinking, what if you did lose your keys underground somewhere on a train or in a tube station or something? Would it still work? Or do they have to be out in the open air?
But of course, there is network connectivity in the form of the Wi-Fi that
But AirTags aren't on Wi-Fi.
No, but AirTags work, as you well know, by connecting to lots of other devices.
And those devices also need an internet connection to successfully locate an AirTag.
And many people who use the London Underground will be connected to the Wi-Fi network. Their devices will connect automatically, whether they're using them or not. So it might well be that you've got an iPad in your bag.
I log in every day.
It's a bit dull.
To the Underground. That's something. I don't have a certificate that just connects me automatically. I have to go through the...
Really?
Yeah, you can download a profile, a certificate, like you say, so it will connect automatically. Same with a lot of public Wi-Fi networks. Whether you really want to do that is another story there.
I think it depends on your carrier. So I'm using Virgin, I think, for my login. But I think some of the mobile carriers, because they can automatically see whether your SIM is on the right network, I think there's some way of bypassing it. But because obviously I'm on a Virgin Mobile home broadband connection.
No, Will, I'm on Virgin and mine just logs me in automatically.
Interesting. We should talk about this. Not now, because it'd be very boring for everyone else. But
I mean, it makes a change from talking about roaming, although that's a thing again. Anyway, but I'm with Vodafone, again, a very, very extensive mobile operator in the UK and around the rest of the world. And Vodafone has pulled out of its deal with TfL.
Yes, I saw that.
So I no longer have access to the Wi-Fi.
Or you could pay
£5
a day or something, couldn't you?
Which is ridiculous, frankly. So I don't do that. Anyway, so by hopping...
In the video...
You can also get 4G on some lines, I've heard. Someone did a video on that. It was about the Jubilee line. It was very well edited.
Thank you. Jubilee line now has full 4G access from like Westminster through to North Greenwich. Yeah. But 20 minutes later in the video, David popped up and I was like, yes, it's worked. And he was at Bank Station. So I hopped on a train and went and literally found David at Bank Station. And there was a great genuine moment where David was like, oh, it's worked. You found me. And I'm like, yep. And we were like, hey.
At what point 100... did you go for it? Have you got ultra wideband on your phone? Have you got like the
I'm just using an iPhone SE. Yeah.
Right. So that doesn't have the very close location where it says it gives you an arrow.
No.
So how did you know where David was, other than you recognised him?
It was pretty accurate in terms of like where.
So
the
if it had been your keys, if it had been your keys on down the back of a bench rather than David standing there, do you think you would have found them as easily?
It would have guided me in. Yeah, I would have got pretty close. What I really want to say off of this is that around the same time or shortly after, there's a completely separate YouTube channel. Excuse me, cough. I think there's a channel called Mega Lab. There's a Kiwi New Zealander living in Germany, and his channel blew up because he did pretty similar things. He attached AirTags to
two people.
To envelopes and packages. Nobody. He sent one to like North Korea. He sent one to Tim Cook and Apple. He sent them around the world. But he did an amazing thing. He sent them via FedEx or UPS. I think FedEx. And where he was picking up signals of his AirTag of a FedEx cargo plane in flight above the Arizona desert, for example. People were using plane tracking websites to be like, yes, this is the moment that your cargo plane flew over Arizona, and obviously the pilot has got an iPhone in his pocket or something, and it's picked it up and it's sent back as signal. But he did one where he attached one to his bike, and then he allowed his bike to be stolen, and then he retrieved his bike and everything. And it's great, and it really took. You should go and check out Mega Lag. It's funny. It's fun. He's made some fun videos about it.
So do you still have just the one AirTag, or have you?
No, I then bought two, and one is now attached to my bike. So I've got one of my keys and one of my bike. Okay. And I subsequently played a game with David where I sent him my AirTag to his home, and I sort of tracked it, and then we sort of tracked it back. And then
did it stop beeping at any point while it was outside your possession?
Oh, David, yeah, you got a notification, didn't you?
Yes, I did. And this brings it a little bit up to date to something that I've discovered today.
Is that Jeff has planted an AirTag on you?
Yeah, spoiling it again.
He's been tracking you for months.
There are certain privacy and security and anti-stalking measures that Apple has been introducing to the AirTags just to make sure that they aren't being planted on people so that people can be followed around without their knowledge. So, if a device that's on the Find My network is away from its owner and following somebody else around, then it can beacon and you get notification on your phone to say, well, this AirTag's been with you for a little while now.
But that's only Apple phones, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's also on Android phones. If you download an app. So it's not perfect. It's not perfect, but Apple's done, I guess, what it reasonably can there to evade criticism. But today I had to take, and I know we'll probably talk about AirPods because we always do later on, but I had to take my wife's AirPods into the Apple store today because one of them had just completely stopped working.
Did they start screaming, help, help, I've been stolen?
Well, no. So Apple got in touch yesterday and said, can you unpair, disassociate them with your account, make sure they're fully charged before you bring them into store in case they need to do a warranty job, whatever. They replaced the faulty AirPod. Mm. It was just completely dead on their little diagnostics
just
machine,
to clarify,
which I got to see.
Which AirPods are these?
AirPods Pro, bought exactly 12 months ago. I have a new AirPod in this AirPods Pro case, which in theory is disassociated from my wife's Apple ID. It's in front of me right now because I put it on to charge up the new AirPod or the refurbished AirPod, whatever it is.
You provide them back fully charged.
Exactly. And I've been getting a notification today to say, just exactly the same AirPod traveling with you. The same notification as I get when I've got an AirTag with me. And I've bought lots of AirTags for the family just to make sure that kids...
How many, David? How many you got?
Eight. Wow. Which isn't as many as some, but that goes in kids' bags. I've got one in the car. I've got one on keys. I've got some equipment bags that I carry around with me. My wife's got some and so on. So we're used to seeing little notifications on our phone that say, oh, this AirTag is with you, but happens to belong to another one of us. But I got the notification today to say, oh, some AirPods Pro that aren't yours have been with you for a lot of today. Do you want to play a sound on those to help you track them down? And? I've never seen that before. Mm. And, well, I did. And it even said, by the way, make sure nobody's wearing these AirPods Pro when you press this button, otherwise you may deafen them.
Right.
Well, how do you know if they're wearing them or not?
Well, I have no... Well, I knew that they weren't wearing them because they're currently plugged in front of me. But I was just curious to see that because I didn't know that AirPods Pro, maybe other AirPods, would do that.
I know they have Find My and things like that. But again, it's not quite as active as the AirTag.
But that kind of stalking mechanism, I didn't know that was associated with it as well. So, that was something I learned new today.
I foolishly, without researching them properly, bought them thinking that if you're in a family, you'd be able to share them amongst your family. But you can't.
No,
and
not easily.
So I own most of the AirTags, which means that luckily...
How many have you got, Will?
I've got eight as well.
What? Oh my, you've both got eight? Are you using the full complement of eight?
Yeah, I think I need some more.
What have you put them on? Eight?
Have you
attached
kids,
one to your
you,
children?
I've attached one to my child. Attached one to the dog. Yeah.
Well, the dog, obviously. Have you obviously
which was
put
actually
on
very,
the dog?
It was very useful because, do you remember I said I had this Vodafone tracker?
Aha, the curve.
The Curve, which I maintained was just about cheap enough for what it was, how well it was designed. And at one point, we did actually lose it.
Oh.
It's such a bad design that the keyring attachment isn't attached. It's a bit like the AirTag. The keyring attachment isn't attached to the thing, and it doesn't hold it very well. Mm-hmm. So at one point, my dog ran off with another dog into the forest, and they were jumping around as dogs do, and came back without the tag. And I then had to go back to its most recent location to try and find it, thinking, oh, well, it can play a sound, so I'll just get it to play a sound. But here's the thing, it only plays a sound within Bluetooth range. And basically the GPS difference of where you could actually be is larger than the Bluetooth range, even outside. So it was a frustrating time of basically trying to... I even phoned Vodafone at this point and said, can't you just make it... Because it has a cellular connection.
Of course.
Can't you just trigger an alert on it? And they said, no, you cannot. But you should be grateful because it only just recently made sounds. I was like, well, you know, I'm not that grateful because I still can't find it. I spent a good hour searching with this thing. Eventually found it. And also the other thing, even when you did get in enough range to make it make a sound, it then only made a sound for about 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And you had to keep pressing it. Eventually found it. And it has a battery life of about 3 days. Luckily, it was fully charged in this instance.
3 days?
About three days. And that was on the longest setting of, like, only update me every 4 hours or something.
Mm.
And then second time, dog went out. I hadn't charged it recently. And then 3 days later, realised that not only the entire keyring had come off a harness and went back to the last location of it when it was dead and have not been able to find it. So...
Oh no!
I've since cancelled it. And
have either of you had to use any of your AirTags in anger yet so far?
I did. So moving on to the dog again.
Oh,
so,
I see.
So swap the
listener,
Curve.
Listener, if you listen very carefully, because I just heard it, you can hear dogs. You can hear Will's dog barking in the background.
No, and she only barks at you, Jeff.
Uh huh.
Oh, and David. Oh no, she likes David.
No, she likes me.
No, she liked me too.
By the end of the night, yeah.
After about 4 hours, yeah.
So I AirTagged the dog as well. And had to modify it because I didn't want it to make a sound because it would freak her out as something that beeped on her. So I had to do the taking the microphone out, the speaker out thing, which isn't as easy as the YouTube videos make
out. Is that a legit thing or is that a hack that someone's found?
You just pop them open, but you don't just pop them open. They're quite hard. If you stick this, your second one, you'll be able to open perfectly. Your first one, you'll make an absolute mess of it.
Right.
But you can easily...
Which is why you need eight.
Yes, basically. Well, actually, the interesting thing was that was the one I popped out the speaker and then it then battery ran down within like 2 hours. And I was like, have I totally screwed this one? And then put what I thought was a good battery I'd bought on Amazon. And that then ran out within like minutes.
What, an LR44?
It's a 2032, I think.
Okay.
Turns out I just bought really bad batteries. Don't buy cheap batteries on Amazon. Get Panasonic ones and put one of those in it and then it worked fine. So basically it just had a bad battery and coincidentally it was the one that I'd taken apart. Okay. So that one's back on her harness, doesn't make a sound, tracks her. And Monday morning, took her for a walk and she decided just to leg it one day. And once she got out of the forest... I could then track her and see where... So I couldn't track her in the forest because there's no one with iPhones.
Yeah.
But once she made it onto the high street, which was bad, I could then see where she was.
Yep.
And get an idea. And about the same tracking app, because the problem with the Vodafone app was, first of all, when you needed to use it when she ran off,
and
you'd find you weren't logged in for a start. And you'd be just like, ugh. So you then have to go through you'd have to text it your number. It's a really convoluted login process. It didn't even use the proper... password field, so 1Password wouldn't recognize it, so you had to go into 1Password and copy everything across. So by the time when she ran off with the Curve, by the time I'd logged in, I realized she'd already made it home. So I just phoned my wife and asked her to open the door because the dog was there.
Did it instill confidence in you? Were you like, I got this, I know where she is, it's all good?
So the first time I started looking at my 3 phone, which 3 coverage has just gone down the hill, so it'll look like you've got coverage, but it won't update. So I was thinking it's spinning, it's saying last updated 3 or 4 hours ago or 40 minutes, whatever it was. Then looked at my Vodafone when it just went instantly, she's over there, 2 streets away. So it still comes to where it was. I phoned my wife. In the intervening time, she got in the car. At that point, I realised she was very close to home. And then it very updated to say she was outside the house.
Oh, well done.
She made her way home.
She made her way home, yeah.
Good girl.
And then she did it again yesterday. Oh. So she now just thinks, I just go home. I make my own way home. I'm a cat.
That's not a bad thing in many ways.
I mean, it's good that she makes her own way home. It's bad that she doesn't understand cars. That's the main thing.
So I have a curve as well, as you know. Mm. And actually, my daughter's school bag has both the curve and an Apple AirTag in it. And so I've been able to compare the two. Curve has improved somewhat.
Can't be hard to improve somewhat. I mean, it was terrible.
It's better in many ways. The app, I think, has had a little bit of a facelift, and logging in is much easier now. You just put your mobile number and you get a text message. You just type that code in and then you're in. I know that because I've literally just done that.
Well, I had to do it when I cancelled and it still took me through the whole password flow.
Right.
And all of that.
And it's easier to share as well. Mm. So I can share that with my wife, which is something that you can't do with the Apple AirTag.
Yes.
And we had an incident, not a lost dog, but just a lost school bag. My daughter left a school bag on a school bus. And we were almost at the end of the curve's battery life. And we must have been like 2.5 days in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so can I lower the refresh rate? Because if you set it up for like a 2-hour refresh rate, in theory, it's about 7 days. You can do it, so it's more like every 5 minutes.
I never got more than 3 days out of it.
Right. We saw this bus going all around the county. We were literally tracking this bus, seeing which other routes it was doing, until we tracked it down to a bus depot in Loughborough. And thanks to the map, and we were able to phone up the bus depot and say, right, can I come along tomorrow morning? When does the bus head off? And the bus driver actually found the bag, and we were able to
And you just drove
back.
Straight to his house and got it, because you
exactly.
knew where he was.
So, look, there is something to be said.
I mean, I also have one on my daughter's keys. One, because she may lose them. But two, because... So the rule at her school, she's now in secondary, is you're not allowed a phone. That's the blanket rule. You're not allowed a phone. If we see you with a phone, we will confiscate it and we will make your parents come in and pick it up next day. So it will inconvenience not just you, but it will also inconvenience your parents.
Yeah.
So she's... That's like the actual rule. The kind of understanding is that you could have one in and out of school. We just don't want to see it. If we see it...
Sorry, tech podcast, parenting. Surely then the savvy parents just say to their smart kid, here, have this phone, but keep it turned off and hidden in your bag. And if you need to contact us in an emergency, then crack out the phone.
Yeah, and that's kind of the understood rule, is basically don't get your phone out in school. But because my daughter is paranoid about that happening, she turns her phone off. And then she then forgets to turn it on when she leaves school.
She just put it on silent mode?
She could, but she tends to just turn it off, because then you're guaranteed it's not going to make any noise, whereas an alarm will still come through on silent. There's ways it will make any noise, potentially. Mm. So I've actually found that having an AirTag is a much better way of seeing whether she has actually gone the long way home rather than the direct way, and getting an update of where she might actually be.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I have told her that if it makes a noise, because obviously it's paired to my account so I can see it, I have told her if it makes a noise, just say to the teacher, my dad put this on my keys and is more than happy to explain why it's making a noise.
I'm going to say something quite controversial here.
Mm-hmm.
How do I phrase this? I prefer not...
You don't think we should be tracking our children, do you, Jeff?
I am starting... Well, essentially.
Mm-hmm. And I agree with you to a degree.
I've recently come around to thinking... I like the old way of doing it. It's weird being able to know where someone is all the time.
But it works
both
ways.
And I've cut down my find a friends list to just two people, and even the second person. So one is my mum, right? I'm just making sure that she's alive, right?
Yeah.
And
that's why I have my pants on Fitbit, so I can see it's like moving.
It's like no one else. And even my second friend, I'm like, well, sometimes, and then And basically, I only ever use it if I'm meeting people, and then I say share for an hour or share
for
the day.
Yeah, I do that.
And
yeah, that's really useful.
But before, I had more people. And now, and they've got a new friend in my life, and I'm like, no, I'm not going to share my location, and I'm not, and I don't want to know where you are. And we've sort of said no to doing it because it's much more fun just to text each other to be like, hey, how are you? Where are you?
Yeah, I know it depends on the relationship, definitely. And our policy with our children is that one, they can see where we are at all times, and at their current age and levels of freedom, we can see where they are at all times, but there'll become a certain point when they'll be allowed to choose whether to share their location or not. Mm-hmm. But they also find it reassuring to know that we know where they are.
But you see my point, for years and years and years and years and years and years and years, you didn't know where your children were, right? You let them go to school, they went to school, and then they came home again, right? So in a way, does it make you more anxious, right, than less anxious? Because you're like, oh, I'll check. Oh, I better check. Oh, I haven't checked in half an hour. I'll check it in an hour's time. You end up checking six times a day as opposed to the old days. You just trust that your child will come home.
It's more kind of, I would expect my daughter to be home, say, at 3:10, and it's 3:30, and I've noticed she's not home. So I might just check then to see if she's close to home or if not, whether I need to ring her.
Yep.
Because also, she doesn't understand. This is my wife's hack on the fact that my daughter never picks up her phone when it rings, is to use the Find My Phone ping on it. And that makes it start making a really bad noise, and then she'll then pick it up and then realise you're trying to phone her.
So, Will, you've done what? You've surgically attached an AirTag to your daughter. Is that what you're saying? You've, like, in her neck or something,
just under the skin. It's fine.
Okay, yeah, yeah. That's the best place. Yeah, yeah. I just wondered whether it was neck or armpit. Sorry, what's the best place? Sorry. What would you recommend?
Armpit, I would say, is like...
Armpit, yeah. For any... Fraculous, the podcast that recommends parents surgically attach AirTags to your
I have another
children.
Use case for AirTags as well, which is we have recently come to own a quite magnificent folding camper, which is like basically a cross between a caravan and a tent.
It is quite magnificent.
These sometimes get stolen from the streets of London, don't they?
Well, I would say, I don't think you'd steal a folding camper, really, unless you didn't know what it was.
But where have you put the AirTag? Because my greatest fear is that somebody will nick my bicycle and then they'll check for an AirTag and just remove the AirTag. How do you hide an AirTag on a vehicle?
Our camper is in storage where it stays for 6 months of the year because we obviously can't go camping at the moment. And I would just like to know every now and again, is it still there without having to go back? And so I put an AirTag and a tile on it. And the AirTag
belt check... and braces.
Well, I'll tell you. There is a rationale. There's a reason for this,
that's
Jeff.
That's so. Will.
So
No. Everybody stop. If you want an example of what Will is like, it's that. That is pure Will. The man that doesn't have one broadband connection, he has two. Doesn't have one mobile phone, has two. Doesn't remotely track with one device, tracks with two.
Do you know how many recordings I'm making of this, Jeff?
Two. Will, do you know what you should do? You should get a second dog. Just have a backup dog.
That would be a good idea, actually. Yeah. I should get a backup dog. So there's a reason for having a tile and an AirTag. So the AirTag checks in about every couple of days. So I can look on the map and see it's still in storage. The tile hasn't checked in once because the tile network isn't big enough. But the reason for having the tile is that you can enable 30-day history. So if I can see if it's gone, I can then enable the history in tile, and hopefully it will then drive past someone with a tile and I'll at least know where it has been, because you can't have any history on an AirTag other than just looking at it.
I'm assuming that since AirTag came out, Apple have just dominated and tile sales have fallen through the roof, though, right?
Well, if you want to track someone without them knowing, use a tile, because that doesn't tell you at all.
Okay, let me just write that down. I'm making a note of that.
Yeah, so that's the other thing. So even if they scan my camper and find the AirTag, they won't know there's a tile, because they're in different locations in the camper as well.
Mm. Good to know. It's great. I'm learning so much from today's podcast. Sorry, from this 8-month podcast.
Yeah.
from this year's podcast.
This year's.
In case this is the only one we do in 2022.
I really do hope that they do enable Apple some more Apple family integration.
It's got to be
with the AirTag.
Because that was the other thing. When we lost the dog, I could see where Phoebe was on two phones. So I was basically saying, to my wife, and she couldn't see. So I was like, come to me in the car and I'll give you one of my phones, and then at least you can then track her in the car while I'm tracking her. She'd made it home by this point, so it didn't really matter. But
why do you call your dog Phoebe, Will? As in Phoebe from Friends?
We had a list. Do you want to know what the contenders were?
I do. I don't know why I do. Like, what was second? What was almost? What was second choice?
So,
what was she almost called?
Where are we? Obviously, we had a shared Apple note about it.
You had a shared Apple note,
yeah,
on what potential dog names to call your dog.
So,
sorry.
Oh my god.
Just while Will is finding this note.
No, I've got it.
Was it just you and your wife? Or was it the whole family?
The whole family.
And extended family? How many
people
did you let into
just the four of us.
Okay, right. Sorry,
so,
right,
obviously, fine. Phoebe was at the top, because that's the one we chose. Then there was Mimi, Jet, Coco, Harry, Sadie, Demi, Mitzi Faye, Maggie, Kiki, Cody.
Mitzi Faye.
Hester, Coco, not Oreo. I'm not sure where that came from. Kuro. Indigo, Ash, Dusty, Cinder, Jet, Cody, Scout, Hester, Doris, Zaina, Zoya, Bee, Bo, Boo, Maisie, and Lulu.
You didn't think about doing a Twitter poll or, like, you know, like a
World
Cup,
Cup of Dogs?
Yeah, I should have done some sort of bracket, shouldn't I? And Phoebe was the winner.
By how many votes?
By four.
Wow.
We all voted for Phoebe in the end.
Wow. Okay.
So everyone was happy, and she is now Phoebe.
Wow. Great. Another great anecdote. That's great.
Now, Will has just lifted up his phone. We've got a Zoom back channel, so we can wave at each other. And Will lifted up his phone, and he demonstrated one of the two of the things that we're talking about. I'm not so interested in your phone, but to illustrate Jeff's point, your wrist. Two observations. First of all, you're wearing both an Apple Watch and a Fitbit, so you've got backup.
you've got backup
telemetry on that wrist.
They give me different things. One gives me, like, active, here are the stats for what you're doing. The other one gives me trends over time.
But can I tell you something terrible? This is really terrible, right? Like last time I went and bought some trousers, like jeans that I really like.
Did you buy two pairs?
I bought two pairs.
I've
started to do this now because I'm like, I know that I'll wear them for 3 months, and then I'll wear them out. So why not just buy two rather than have to come back in 3 months' time and buy some more?
Or what you should do is add the size of your jeans to your Amazon basket in various styles, and then wait until the price drops and then buy them.
Right, but I'll even do it down the shop now. It's like, well, because I quite buy, you know, I quite often buy Ribena, other black currant juice drinks are available. But I'll quite often just be like, well, I'll just buy two or buy three and then put one in the cupboard and one under the, you know what I mean? And then I don't have to go to Sainsbury's and carry more bottles of Ribena. So why not just buy in bulk? Yeah, I've started the whole bulk buying thing.
Life hack, buy in bulk.
I think it's a middle-aged thing.
I see, right.
I think so, because
thanks, David.
We feel quite safe with the things that we find, and we're scared from a past experience that, oh, those trainers were really, really comfy. I don't want to try something new. I'm going to buy two pairs of them because by the time I've got through the first pair, they don't sell them anymore.
Yeah, mine's just the mental effort. No, I'm doing it. Once I find something that works, it has to be... Either has to go out of stock and not be made anymore, or there has to be a reason that it's defective.
Guys, I tell you, this is honest to God, David, middle-aged thing. Literally today, they're recording this. It is a middle-aged thing. I got my broom out and I swept my front path, right? Just to, like, clean it all the leaves and stuff. And then I just kept going and did the pavement outside.
Did you do the pavement in front of your house?
Yeah! I was like... Well,
then did you do the neighbours or not?
No, I didn't do the neighbours. I thought about the neighbours. I thought, well, I don't like my neighbour that much. So I'm like,
Our neighbour comes round and cuts the... part of the bush that overhangs our white locker, which is very nice of him.
But that sort of started last winter, last year, whenever we had the snow and ice in like February or March. I was out clearing the path from snow, and then I cleared a bit of the pavement. You know what I mean? Where did you stop?
Then you were like the road, and then down the road.
Exactly. But yeah. There you go. I've turned into that guy that sweeps the pavement in front of his house.
Anyway, David, you were saying Apple Watch and Fitbit.
Well, yes, that was observation number one. And then observation number two that I wanted to land on is, Will, you've got a new watch.
This episode of Fraculous is brought to you by FreshBooks, the easy-to-use online invoicing software designed to get you paid cash money faster. Face it, Humans, you are not good with numbers. If you're not a numbers human, sign up for FreshBooks and let them handle the hard stuff for you. FreshBooks users save 2 days per month on average, which you could spend doing futile tasks like talking to other humans and eating food in front of each other. In order to pay for these pointless activities, you are going to need money. FreshBooks lets you create invoices that look more professional than your substandard motor skills allow. You can even keep track of expenses, so you don't end up with negative money. Which is bad if your entire world is built on having it to survive. To try FreshBooks for free for 30 days, go to fraculous.com/freshbooks and enter Fraculous into the How Did You Hear About Us section, so that they know that we sent you and to show your support for the show.
I have, but you've got a new watch as well, David.
Yes, but I saw yours first.
That's true. So I, again, like I talked myself last time into upgrading my watch, but I don't think the watch is worth having every single one. So I've gone from an original Series 0 to a second-hand Series 3. And I was actually trying to hold out for as long as Apple supported the Series 3.
They still do, but it's painful.
The battery life was just getting too bad on it. It was getting to the point where it was fine at home. If I just stayed at home, then it would last. But if I went into town at all, it was getting to the point where, like, about 10 o'clock, it was in red. And also I sleep with it on, so I'd then have to charge it when I got home because it's my alarm to wake me up. And I kind of jotted up the amount of things I do on it, which is I use it to unlock my Mac. I use it for payments. I use it for alarms. I use it for timers. I use it for face unlock when you're wearing a mask, which is incredibly good. I use it for so many things that just make my life easier that I was just like, yeah, I need to get another one. But I don't want to... I looked at the cost of the 7, which was about $390, which was a bit too much, a bit more than I was looking to spend. And I saw that they had a refurb Series 6 on Apple.com for, I think it was $310 in the size I wanted. And didn't get cellular. I had cellular in the 3, but never turned it on because 3 never enabled it. So it's just a Wi-Fi one, don't need cellular on it. Annoyingly, it came with a white strap, which I had from... I already had a white strap from my original watch. So I'm hoping to... Well, I've got two options. One is I'm going to try and go to an Apple store, because it now comes in two parts. It comes with watch and strap separately, and see if I can exchange it for a different band. Or the other option is we are currently where I'm sitting. Next time we record this will probably be a home gym.
Oh.
So we're getting a treadmill.
Because you're also middle-aged, yeah?
Yeah. It's been a year since I've been running, and so I just can't fit running into my current life. So the idea is to get a treadmill down here. My wife has a cycling machine. We're going to put a big TV about here where I'm sitting.
Just a treadmill or any kind of like weights as well or any kind of
possibly,
aerobic?
Possibly, but like it's mainly about, I like running. That's kind of my main thing. But I want to get Apple Fitness because I can get 3 months of Fitness Plus with this watch, which I could then share with my wife. But then she would need an Apple Watch, so she could use my 3 and potentially use the band. So we shall see.
So I upgraded from an Apple Watch Series 3 that I got in 2018 when it was new.
You were on a 4, weren't you?
Or was it a 4?
You were on a 4.
No, I was on a 4.
You've always been one step ahead of me, David, because you had a 1 when I had a 0, you had a 4 when I had a 3.
But you were the first Apple Watcher, and you were what kind of twisted the knife in for me getting mine. No, you're right. It was the first of
the
new shape.
Yeah.
First of the new shape back in 2018. And I've been holding out on that because the battery life had been fine. You know, sometimes had a bit of a moment, particularly after there'd been a software update. And performance-wise, it was fine. You know, things like double tapping for Apple Pay kind of worked. So I didn't really feel the need to upgrade. And then I was in the Apple store for another, probably something else that had broken. And I'm like, oh, let me just have a quick look at this table. And with the Series 7... there are some minor cosmetic changes. The screen is a little bit larger. And I think in comparison to the Series 4, it was an accumulation of all the little changes. The always-on display, for a start.
That came in 5, didn't it?
So I just missed out on that. That's really, really nice. It is that little bit faster, I have to say. And just, you know, Apple Pay a little bit snappier, other apps a little bit snappier. The battery life's very good. And I really like the screen as well. It does subtly curve around the edge, and you don't notice it with the normal watch faces, but there are some new watch faces that came in with this version of the Apple Watch that do show it off. The reservation that I had was the colour, because
that was the other thing that put me off the 7 was that kind of pink gold colour.
You mean starlight?
Starlight. Piss gold. You'd have to beep out the word piss every time I say piss, Will. Piss.
Yes, I think that really piss Will off. So I had the aluminium one with the white band before, and I kind of wanted to stick with the aluminium one. They didn't have that. So I've gone with this starlight, and it is kind of the silvery piss aluminium, gold. But with this just little hint of gold. And I got the, it's not quite a navy blue, all-in-one kind of solo band, and I really like it.
Is that the single solo loop? It's not the braided one?
No, it's just a single loop. I really, really like it now, and it just kind of goes. So, yes, I managed to trade in my Series 4 and get a useful bit of money off that certainly made it less of a bitter pill to swallow. But I don't regret it at all. I'm very, very happy indeed.
My daughter wants to get an iPad. This is just an aside on trading in things. And she only needs the basic one because she wants a pencil so she can draw on it, but she could get the basic because that now supports a pencil. Yeah. And my wife was like, can we not trade in one of our old iPads? And I was like, because John Lewis was like, get up to £150 off. And I was like, yeah, they'll probably just take it. Yeah, you've ever done something where you fill it in and it says, well, we'll take it for free, but that's about it. And so they filled in the details for the iPad 3 that we had, and they offered us £20 for it.
I mean, that's not bad. I've got a great story. You mentioned John Lewis trade-ins. The camera that I use for kind of recording here, it's a 4K Panasonic, a G80. I got it years and years ago from John Lewis, and they had this offer on it, this trade-in offer that you just had to trade in an old camera.
Anything.
They weren't very specific about what camera it needed to be, so we dug out literally the oldest. I think it needed to be like a compact camera, but it was like a 1 megapixel Nikon.
It had to be
cool
digital. You
thing.
Couldn't just be like had one to of be the digital, you got the Coke, yeah. like Coke cans or anything.
But we got literally the bottom of the list. Mm. Anyway, so I went into that, and it was like, I don't know, £250 off this, at the time, state-of-the-art mirrorless camera. And to begin with, the guy's like, nah, mate, nah, this one isn't going to work. So I was the guy who said, well, if you look at the terms and conditions...
Actually, I think you'll find in your terms and conditions...
I did exactly that. And so two things happened. First of all, he called the manager over. The manager...
Did he use the word trading standards at any point?
No, I
consumer rights...
I didn't reveal any of that at the time.
Have you not seen me on telly, rip off Britain at all?
First of all, the manager had a completely different tone. He was like, yeah, it's fine. It's fine. It's like, I've seen this trick before. Mm. And then the second thing was, he goes, actually, just keep your damn camera.
I don't even want it.
All we're going to do is chuck it in the bin anyway. So you may as well just keep it.
Absolutely.
Oh. Never knowingly undersold. Thank you very much, John Lewis. So I got a hefty deal off this
Speaking
Panasonic
of John
camera.
Lewis, so last year I did very well with shorting John Lewis on AirPods Pros before Black Friday. Because the great thing about John Lewis is they will price match themselves. So if you buy something 30 days before Black Friday, so you can actually start using it, and then on Black Friday they drop it massively, you can then say to them, you have changed the price, and they'll just refund you the difference, as if you'd bought it on Black Friday.
Cool.
So I think I got about £100 off AirPod Pros last year doing that, but then got a whole month of November using them. And I tried it again this year with AirPods Max. But that didn't pan out. They didn't drop the price. In fact, they put it up the day later.
So hang on. You've got AirPods Max now. These are the over-the-ear, really quite extravagant things.
They
How's
are quite
that going?
They're amazing. I mean, I got them for $480. which I think is £70 off the £550 list price that Apple will sell them for.
I mean, that's serious audiophile territory there, isn't it?
I mean, I'm not really going for audiophile. What I'm going for is... There were two use cases I wanted to use them for. I wanted to use them to try and use them for filming. That one hasn't panned out. And I wanted something better for editing because my daughter has now moved upstairs, so her bedroom is next to my office. So if I'm editing late at night, I can no longer do it on speakers.
Yeah.
And as much as my wired headphones are okay, just the cable gets... It's just a pain to be tethered and if you're trying to do something else. So I wanted some good wireless headphones.
But wireless, surely when you're editing, there is a
I've
bit
never
of latency
found it.
In
I
there.
I think I've never seen it, and I think the OS compensates for it because it's in charge of the playback.
No, but you know when you're shuttling JKL
so
through a timeline.
No, honestly, it works fine. So the difference is I got a Bluetooth transmitter to plug into my camera, and I put the headphones on, and I thought, and the delay was just so bad. It was just like ridiculous. Whereas when I'm editing, there's nothing, there's no delay. It's fine. Like, because I use them to also, I'll watch like Disney Plus on my laptop because it now supports the spatial audio. And there's no delay there. It can sync the video up with the output so it all works. So they must do that. But there's no noticeable delay. I edit everything wirelessly on headphones. So they're absolutely perfect for that. And. The noise cancellation is amazing. It's like the Victoria Line level of... So I'd say the AirPods Pro take the edge off the Victoria Line.
Yeah.
But with the Max, it's practically silent. It's just, they're amazing. And it's kind of, instead of it kind of being small, it makes everything large. It makes everything just feel immersive and, yeah, they're really
Are you in the middle
really
of a big
good.
Sound stage, Will?
It just makes it just sound, it just sounds way, way better. Mm. And if you have to spend like a day in an office, offices are so noisy. Yeah. And so just put them on. Even if you're not even listening to anything, just put them on and it's just silent. It's amazing.
There we go.
So yeah. I mean, they are expensive and, but they are kind of worth it if you can afford it.
Until you lose one of them or you tread on it.
Yet to lose any AirPods, so
I hear they're very losable and treadable.
And as you know, you can just play a sound on them now to locate them.
Speaking of extravagant Apple purchases, I'm going to hold something up, gentlemen, and show you this that I picked up last week. This
is it the travel charger for the watch and the
Duo MagSafe charger. You know
Isn't
what it's
that
like.
£120 quid or something.
£129.
It's more than a HomePod Mini.
It is a lot of money. So here's the use case for me. I mean, so Apple brought this out last year when they announced MagSafe for mobile devices, and it's this little wallet, small wallet sized, and it's in white, and it does pick up dirt quite easily. Travel charger, and it uses the MagSafe magnetic attachment for your phone on one side, like, you know, and it's quite good, and it's got a little pop up. Apple Watch charger on the other. I've started traveling again quite a lot, so a lot of time away from home. And in the past, that would mean, particularly if I wanted to ensure my devices were charged up, it would be one little brick charger there, another brick charger there, a few different cables, and just a real faff and carrying around like a bit of a bits bag of different charging things. I'm like, no, there has to be a better way. And this is actually an elegant, slimline solution. You do need to get a specific charging brick for it, at least a 20-watt charging
brick.
That's
saying that everything that Apple does now seems to be 20-watt. The HomePods are 20-watt. Do you don't get a charger with it, though?
You don't get a charger with it. In fact, I am using... So I did not buy a 20-watt charger.
You don't get the...
No. It's and when it requires a specific one, I think it's pretty shocking that they don't include that in the set.
Like the HomePod not using the charger.
Well,
what happens,
I'm actually
what happens if
using,
you plug in a 10-watt one? It just doesn't charge.
I haven't tried it. I suspect that because...
Wait a minute. You've got a GaN charger, haven't you?
No, not at all. I'm actually using the 20-watt charger that came with my HomePod Mini, which is to the side of me, and I'm running my HomePod Mini off of a 10 or 15-watt charger.
I thought it was very particular, the HomePod Mini, that you couldn't repurpose that charger.
I've not had any problem with it so far. Hey, Siri. How you doing? There we go. All the colours are saying that it's fine, thanks. So even though I'm running that off of a lower wattage charger, it's
That's interesting, because I might repurpose my 20-watt HomePod Mini chargers then. Now I know that.
Indeed. So, I haven't jumped in and got myself a new MacBook Pro yet with an HDMI and an SD card reader, as much as I would like that.
I've heard the battery life isn't as good. That's one thing I've heard.
Oh, really?
So the M1 Mac that I've got was designed for Intel.
Yes.
And so it's got an M1 in it, so it's just got oodles of battery life. Yeah. Whereas I've heard, I don't know, this is just anecdotal, but I've heard that the new M1s have been designed with that chip in mind to get them, obviously more than the Intel versions, but not nowhere near what the Intel designed ones with M1s in were getting.
Yeah.
And I'm not that bothered about the ports, to be honest. I don't want SD card. I don't really want HD. I quite like just having USB-C Thunderbolt ports. But I realize I'm in a minority, though. I'd much rather have a port that can do everything and maybe have to adapt it than have a single-purpose port and not have to adapt it.
Chaps, do we have any non-Apple segments of our...
We could talk about COVID.
This episode of Fraculous is brought to you by Audible.com, the premier provider of audiobooks. With over 180,000 titles to choose from, humans like to listen to things. If you're a human, you're probably listening to this podcast right now. Audiobooks on Audible are read by real live humans, often the same ones that wrote all of the words as well. Not only are you hearing the words written by the human, but you get to experience them exactly as they intended. Humans love listening to other humans. It is one of their favorite things to do, unlike Risk, which is good, because Audible is completely risk-free. If you don't like the sounds or words you're hearing, for any reason, you can exchange it for another without asking any questions. To start your free 30-day trial of Audible, which includes a free audiobook download, go to fraculous.com/audible, so that they know that we sent you and to show your support for the show.
Sure. How is that tech?
Well, I think last time we recorded, Jeff, you just had your first dose and you were regaling us on how rubbish you felt immediately afterwards. Yeah, and Will and I weren't on the whiteboard then for our scheduled dose, but I've had all three since then.
Yeah. I had my second one and there was no reaction. I then had my third one, my booster, just before Christmas, and that did give me about 12 hours of just like, and I just sort of lay on the couch feeling very, very poorly. Mm. But then, more interestingly, is that I'm fairly sure I had the Omicron.
Oh, but did you test on it?
Well, yeah. Well, this is the thing, because I had all the symptoms. My sister went. I was like, oh, I got a cold. She's like, what do you mean? I was like, oh, runny nose, but she's like, no, it's Omicron.
You could have so just had a cold.
Well, I took lateral flows.
Did you do it daily?
I took about like six, and then I went for a PCR.
Every day.
Yeah, and everything came back negative, and I stayed at home for a week anyway, just to be sensible.
I think if your PCR comes back negative, then it's very unlikely.
Yeah, but supposing I hadn't done the PCR properly, because like nobody supervised.
No, I've done one which came back unconfirmed.
I don't know. I just think it just seemed like a really short, sharp cold to kind of.
I think if you've done daily lateral flows and a PCR and they've all come back negative, I think it's unlikely you would have had it.
I just wonder. But the most interesting thing that I've seen in the science and all the reputable news sources
the
this
science.
Week, the science. If you'd like some an optimistic approach viewpoint,
We just got to learn to live with it, Jeff. We just got to learn to live with
it. We do have to learn to live with it.
Not change anything about what we do in life. Just learn to live with it.
Providing that no nasty new variant comes up over the next couple of months, it could be at the point that by April, you know, it's back. We're at a point where it really is like. You know, we can all be like, okay, maybe a bit of normality is creeping back into our lives. And if that happens, there was a scientist that came out this week and said, and if that's the case, what's really interesting is that when you think of a Spanish flu from, I want to say, 1924, whenever it was, that basically just took 3 years to like go through everybody, right? And so what they're saying is that this could be like April will be like the 2 year anniversary. And then the stamp, the viewpoint was, is like, well, vaccines have basically shaved a third off
vaccines,
the time. And that's what the science has done. It's reduced the sort of the whole
pick
thing
by
33%.
The problem at the moment is kids aren't eligible for the vaccine unless they're 12. And so both of ours are under that and they just keep getting it. And it's like first time round, the youngest got it and he spread it to the eldest and my wife. And then literally the week before Christmas, my daughter then got it again. But luckily we managed to contain her. Well, she felt pretty rotten for the first couple of days anyway, so she stayed in her room. And then we made her stay in her room to the point where we zoomed her into a film and made her watch it in her room on her laptop on Zoom while we were downstairs, and she could see us and we could see her.
That's kind of like DIY share play, isn't it?
We both had to press play at the same time.
Oh, wow.
It was Home Alone 3 as well.
There was a news line this week that said the common cold, us catching the common cold, may at some point be providing some kind of immunity as this virus continues to mutate. So I don't know. I really like your insight there, Jeff. And, you know, I hope that there's a lot of truth in that, you know, the vaccines, while they are not a silver bullet, they certainly have helped to shave a substantial amount of time off
which makes
the course
sense,
of this pandemic.
Yeah, that sounds like a sensible summary.
As we've said before, I'm no doctor, but I like your science.
Because I was going to come to you tomorrow, David, with all kind of personal problems, and now I won't. I won't get you to...
How have you found travel, David? Because you've probably travelled, I'd say, the most out of us. I've not left the country in
I've been abroad a couple of times.
Years.
I'm off to Dubai for some work next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to get a PCR within 48 hours of flying out there. Wearing a face mask on a plane for several hours at a time is a bit of a pain in the bum, to be honest with you, but you know, that's what it is. I've been to Spain a couple of times, and there's certainly different approaches to mask wearing from country to country. And over there, I was last there 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, and boy, very fastidious. And there are very, very few exceptions. I don't get the impression that people are claiming some kind of medical exemption and walking around a supermarket or a shop without a mask on. Everybody's wearing a mask.
Yeah.
And even if you're in a green room or, you know, a social space, people are wearing a mask, except, you know, and they're literally just pulling the mask down to take a sip from a coffee and then putting the mask back up again, rather than, I've got a drink within 2 meters of me. Ah, I won't bother with a mask, which is how it tends to be. And I count myself in that as well over here in the UK.
Yeah, I was in France in November. November. Mm. And whereas I'd say on transport here, mask wearing rate is about sort of 50-60%. In Paris, it was like 99%.
Right.
Like everyone just did it. Yeah. They'd taken it much more seriously than we are.
Have you guys got the app installed?
Yes, I do.
Sorry.
I do have the contact tracing app installed and I've been pinged. Yes, I have been pinged a couple of times, including a few weeks ago actually twice for the same reason. I was at a football match or two football matches.
And, how recently?
A few weeks ago. And somebody within the vicinity of me, within the Bluetooth range or whatever, because, you know, you sat down there, albeit outdoors, for an hour and a half, hour and three quarters, probably a couple of hours by the time you've got there before and walked out afterwards, had obviously tested positive and that had registered in the app, so pinged me.
Have you checked your matched key count recently?
Oh, tell me more. No, I haven't. Tell me more about this.
So if you go into settings and exposure notifications.
Okay, I'm following that right now. So I don't go into the COVID-19 tracing
app.
Just
the settings in your app.
Okay, and I go to
exposure. Sorry, in your phone. Exposure notifications. And then see where it says active.
I've got active. Yes, I've got
click
that.
Click on active. You'll see a thing that says exposure checks.
64.
So, yeah, click on that. It'll do a face ID on you.
Yes.
And then you'll see the reading, and you just click on one of them, and it'll tell you your matched key count. What's your most recent matched key count?
Okay, so my exposure check was last one today at 18:42. So what was that? About 2.5 hours ago. And my matched key count was 24.
12! Jesus.
What's that?
So my understanding is that is the amount of people who you've been in vicinity of for 15 minutes who... Not the 15 minutes. They and the amount of people that your phone has been past who have tested positive.
In how long?
I think that's the total amount. So not 15 minutes, not the 15-minute rule. Just literally, you have been in contact with 24 people on some level who have...
Right.
And that's probably from the football match.
Because I'm just going back a little bit, just going back a few days to, let's see, the 7th, and that's at 21. But I go back to the 6th, and it's at 40.
What?
My match key count is 40.
I mean, I just had a look, and I just found one which was 11, and that's very high. That's one of the highest I've seen on my phone.
Right, yeah.
40.
Going back, so they must expire. They must have a limited time period here. 54 come New Year's Day.
What were you doing on New Year's Eve, David?
53. Oh my word! Yes. So my
could be because of your office location. Maybe it's picking it up across through the walls of
perhaps.
Yeah, it could be that.
My history only goes back to the 28th of December, and we're recording on, what, the 12th of January?
Yeah, you only get a couple of
January.
Weeks. Basically, after that, people aren't infectious, so it just drops off.
Again, I should say, I had to have an additional app on my phone when I went to France.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Which is like their equivalent of like the COVID passport, and I did get checked multiple times when going into shops and cafes and stuff whilst in Paris. And it's just been noticeable ever since I've been back in England and Plan B came out, and it was like, yeah, you're gonna have to show your COVID passport to get into a football game. I went to the Spurs Liverpool match the other week at all, and was not asked to show my COVID passport. So,
but
again,
also,
it's just so this is extremely,
it's also ridiculous
just,
that
just
you
don't
you
care.
Can literally in the app you can just scan. No, you can get a COVID passport from saying you've had a negative lateral flow, whether you have or not. You could literally take one out
really?
Of the packet, scan it, say it's negative, don't even take the test, and that will be your COVID passport. It's ridiculous.
Right, I'm going to jump on a plane to Australia and go play tennis then. Excellent.
But anyway, going back to your match key count, I was going to say that mine's been pretty low. I got pinged once, but it was, I think I got Delta ping, so I didn't have to isolate.
Uh-huh.
And my match key count was about 4 then. And then my wife got pinged, but then did have to isolate, and hers was 27.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, the rules, again, people listening to this at some point in the future, the rules at the moment are that if you do have if you are pinged, if there is a notification that someone who you've spent some time with has tested positive, the guidance is, I think, as of today, is that if you start to show symptoms, you should go and get a PCR. But otherwise, you should do regular daily. Possible, if you can get hold
if you
of
can
them.
Get, although, yeah. So there's a great account called LFT_alert on Twitter. Uh-huh. It's actually now not tweeting because it's no longer a problem, but it will literally say LFTs are now in stock, and then you then go on the site and order them, and it'll then tell you when they've stopped. And it was usually like 3 times a day for a couple of hours they were available. So that was a great account
to
follow.
We've been okay. We've been okay in terms of keeping hold of them. It helps that my wife works in the front line, sort of. I didn't know about that matched key count thing, and
I always check
they are some pretty high numbers in there. But I went to Anfield.
Yeah,
I went to Anfield with 50,000 people, 50,000 other people, and I've been to 2 Leicester City matches, as well. So
did you lose both of them?
No, we won both. We won both of them. Once against Liverpool. And once against Watford in the FA Cup.
Oh, well done. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah, I'll be seeing Leicester play Spurs this time next week.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Good luck.
And now for the football portion of Fraculous.
You know what we need to finish it off to make it a perfect episode?
Go on.
We need to talk about David's electric car.
Well, no, we need to know how many apps are on your phone, Will.
Oh, I don't think it's actually changed much.
And then I'll do my Catherine Parkinson anecdote.
Oh, please do.
Yeah, no, we should definitely finish on that. Absolutely. apps on my phone, just before David talks about electric cars, are, I can't even remember, it's general, about, that's it. So.
And you know what, Will? We need to guess. Genuinely genuinely ask me to play along. Because I can't remember, so I'm going fresh.
Okay. Do you want to have a guess?
587.
You're going 587. David?
I'm going to go up to 600.
So clearly, I thought there'd be very little change. Obviously, COVID pandemic time has done something to my mind.
Oh, God, no.
715 apps.
Oh, bleeped it out. What? Will?
715.
You're like a disease, man. Seriously, you got to. Is there like an Apps Anonymous that you can go to? Hello, my name's Will Head, and I download apps.
But on a serious point, since the later versions of the iPhone operating system, iOS, nowadays you do not need to house an app on a home screen. There's a lot more fluidity there. They can just exist in your app library.
I've only got two pages now.
I don't feel the need to do app spring cleaning, app housekeeping as much as I used to. You know, there can be apps that I install once on my phone and never see again unless I go browsing alphabetically through my app library.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got 367 on here. I recently switched up to a big phone, a 13 Pro Max.
You know what? It is annoying, but the app library does learn what apps you want to tap on.
So what I do now...
It's becoming quite good at knowing...
On my home screen, I have the Siri apps widget right in the middle. So there's like 8 apps on the centre of my home screen.
There's a what? Hang on. There's an app
Siri app suggestion widget. And it's really good. So it basically just goes, right, at this point you check Twitter in the day. At this point you go into your bank.
It
does time and location. And also...
Okay, that sounds really useful, actually. I might have to...
And also does things like when you disconnect your headphones or connect your headphones. So some of it is like every time you take your headphones out, you look at Twitter. There's... When I was using the COVID app for scanning stuff, whenever I went to a pub, it would pop up and go... You used this app last time at this pub, so you probably want to use it again to check in.
And it tells you why it suggested that application.
The 8x8, it doesn't. You have to put the other widget on to see the reasons. If you put the
Which one have you got, Will? You got the 1x4 or the...
I've got the 4x2 in the middle, and then in a stack, I've got the single one.
Sorry, listener. Will, can you hold up your phone to the Zoom so we can see, but the listeners can't?
I bet the exposure's not going to work.
No,
not bad.
Ooh. Oh, hang on. What's that? Your wife just texted you saying,
"The dog's
gone missing in Waltham Forest again."
In the living room, where people
is it the top right or the bottom left? Will?
So the middle bit.
In the middle
is these apps are dynamic.
No way, but they just look like regular apps.
Yeah, so they just change depending on what you're doing.
Flip. What the flip? Yeah. Well, I'm doing that. That sounds fun. I'll try it for a week and see how I get on.
You've got a black widget background on your home screen, haven't you?
No, I've got like a gradient.
Oh, okay.
It's like a pinky purpley gradient.
Oh, very good. Very good.
Listener, Will does set up his phone very well. Out of all the people I know, he's probably the person that spends the most time investing, like getting his screen. And his icons just right.
Although I have to do less now. I've got widgets. So much easier with widgets.
Yeah, but that's not. But there's a skill in knowing how to do widgets correctly, right? And that's what you've obviously done.
Did
you do this while sat in bed or while sat
on
the
toilet?
My
work phone is just literally 4 pages of OmniFocus.
Oh, you're an OmniFocus man.
When do you do this? Is it on the couch, on the bed, on the toilet, on the train? When do you invest your time?
I think I'd spend about half an hour doing that. Putting a stack, 2 stacks in it, and then the middle widgets.
But you must spend, you must have like maintenance time to like refine
it. Not really. I think it's almost good enough, so I'm just going to leave it.
you worked out at an early stage what you wanted, you did it, and you run with it.
I put stacks in, basically, and
okay,
yeah,
wow.
End of Fraculous. If your puny human minds can handle more, then follow on Twitter @FRACKLOUS or individually @DavidMcClelland DavidMcClelland @JeffTech GeoffTech @WillHead WILLHEAD. Email your brains to hello@fraculous.com. Every breath you take, and every move you make, every bond you break, every step you take, I'll be watching you.
I was just wondering if there was a nice segue into electric car. If you really want me to talk about it, I can.
You've got a new driveway.
I do.
Can you get
your
car on it?
Yes, I can get my car on it. So here's the thing. When
was
I got
that related
my electric...
to buying the house? You were like, I need to just double check and get my car on the driveway first.
Thankfully, the people we bought the house from had a much larger car than mine.
Well, it wasn't the size of your car. It was more the ground clearance.
Indeed. And it's a little bit tight because we still live on the side of a hill, but it's fine. The lease on my car, leased on my little BMW i3, which I love, ran out in November. So I spent a good 2 or 3 months saying, right, what's my next electric car going to be? And I test drove loads of them. And,
in fact, last time I spoke to you, you were kind of, I think you had like a Mustang in your sights.
So I had a Mustang Mach-E in one eye. I had that in my shopping basket. I was hovering over the buy button. And then I went to see another car, Jaguar I-Pace. And
do they take Apple Pay for those, or do you
probably all on a lease deal? But here's why I didn't. The lead time, because of this global semiconductor shortage, there's two things that have happened. One of which is that if you want to buy a new car, well, good luck getting anything within the course of 6 months, because there's such a waiting list. Different cars are being prioritized. Typically, car companies are prioritizing electric vehicles for carbon emission and carbon credit reasons. But even so, it's pretty difficult. That has forced secondhand car prices to go through the roof. And someone who I know sold their smart car, their five-year-old smart car. A petrol actual... smart car. I think they sold it after having it for 5 years or so, or 5 years for more money than they paid for it. Okay. The secondhand car market has gone out of control.
Because I was thinking about getting a secondhand electric car, but what you're telling me is now is not the right time.
Maybe not the right time, but as global supply chain conditions fix themselves over the coming months, it's certainly worth getting your ear to the ground now. But the second thing is that even if you do manage to order a car, the specifications, the features are being taken off. So on the car that I decided that I wanted eventually, if I wanted to have reversing cameras.
Oh, right. I was going to say, because mirrors are kind of essential. Yeah.
Well, actually, one of the options in this car was to replace a traditional mirror with a video camera mirror instead. But anyway, a lot of those options were being taken off. Even the base level car, they were having bits and bobs taken off of them, because otherwise they wouldn't be able to supply any cars at all. And they were keeping the prices the same, so removing features on the posh screen in the middle.
It's costing you more, you just can't get that option.
Exactly. Right. And if you do want, I want this car, but I want to have the 360 camera, it's like, yeah, you may be waiting a year because they're prioritising orders on from customers that they can actually deliver a lot sooner. So I just said, you know what? I'm going to wait it out for 12 months. I'll quite happily extend my lease by another 12 months, and I'm paying a lot less now as a result of that.
So your wife will not be inheriting the i3 just yet?
Maybe at the end of this year, then she will.
Can I tell you about an incredible piece of car tech I saw the other day, and I feel when I tell you, that David's going to be like, oh, that's a good idea. I should get
go
that.
For it.
I was just walking down a street the other day, in a town. It was like a main road, fairly busy main road, and there were people that lived on the main road. So it was like one of those main roads, like an A road, with terraced houses, and all the houses along the terrace had like very sort of shallow front garden. So it's busy main road, pavement, you know, maybe like a 2 meter depth front garden.
That sounds,
you know,
a bit like our front garden.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. And what someone had done is that they turned their front lawn garden into a driveway tarmac. But obviously at some point they've had the hassle of like, well, I have to onto my driveway to park, or if I go in forward facing, I have to reverse out onto the main road. So I swear to God, like a railway turntable, there was like a 2.5 meter diameter circular metal plate, which they'd obviously dug a hole in their garden, got a company to come and install it. They had a small car. I don't want to say like a mini, but it wasn't obviously like a big family estate. They had a small car, and so they drove on. And then I saw it there. There's a control panel with a key, and you turn the key, and then it just...
That is a lot of money to not reverse off your driveway.
And it rotated your car around for you so that you could then pull out forward facing again. I was like, that's amazing.
All you need is a retractable hedge, you know, to kind of disguise the car like some kind of Tracy
Island. And then it would just be perfect Thunderbirds, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to just like hang around for half an hour, or just to knock on their door and go, can I make a video about this? But yeah. So there you go. David, get a turntable for your car to have it facing in the right direction.
Well, alas, we are a two-car family. We only have space on the drive for one car. We do have a front garden that is neither here nor there in terms of size. So, yeah, you know, out of our budget, to be fair.
Will, if you were a two-car family, does that mean you'd have four cars?
we only have one car. So that's the one thing. So here's what I was thinking was, instead of replacing our current car with an electric car, I was thinking of keeping the existing car, which we own now because we've paid off the loan, and then buying a second-hand electric car. So then we would have two. We'd have a backup. So, yeah, that kind of was my rationale. But I was thinking, I think I found one for like $4,000, which only had like a 40-mile range, but I only need it for going round town and then keep
an old Nissan Leaf or an old Renault Zoe, or you can even get an old BMW i3 with the 60-amp-hour battery. You can still get them with a range extender as well that gets you out of jail like mine does.
Because also they're putting electric charging points on our road, because the problem is we are in a terraced house and I couldn't even fit that turntable in my front garden, so you couldn't even get a car on our front garden. So
it's like you would need a conveyor belt instead. From if you could even park outside your house, like
to take it
conveyor
sideways.
You sideways, crab onto the what Although, you have a front garden.
One thing we thought about was that there is a tree outside our house, and we were wondering whether it would be legal to put a wire up high in our garden and then through the tree. And then down to charge a car. Is that allowed? Are you allowed to put a wire over a public highway, pedestrianised?
Doubt it very much. Although I'm certainly not an authority there either. But there's two things that I have seen is that
there are people that just leave a cable just running across the pavement to charge their car, and I'm not a fan of that. I think
no.
Yeah, I think that's weird. You're going to get some kid that comes along with the bolt cutters just to piss them off, right?
There is one council that has been trialling, and they've installed like this little gutter or this little trench that allows you to outside a house essentially bury, but to put the cable so people aren't going to trip over it. That's one thing.
Could I just hack a big...
Just get a chisel and have a do your own.
Is that allowed?
totally.
Yeah, absolutely. say David. David said so. And then the other thing that I've seen is these retractable, they look almost like bollards, but they push down into the ground and they can, you pull them up. That means that you can have convenient pavement parking. You aren't all pavement charging. I guess the mechanism, because it's a whole thing moving up and down, subject to risk. But
like static. I mean, there are also charging points on the lamppost around us, but they're
very slow.
Well, also in standard bays, so someone could just park outside it and not have to leave. Whereas the advantage of the points they've put in, I've got a 4-hour limit. So
right.
And that's probably, is that enough to charge your car up, David? You would You'd know.
Well, it depends upon the rate at which it's charging. If it's a fast charger, 7.2 kilowatts, whatever, then
I imagine it'd be a good one.
Yeah, for that, David, then you'd be able to fill up mine certainly in 4 hours, really. Yes, Jeff.
David, we're still doing a thing where I hire a Tesla one day and I drive up and see you, right? But just for the lulls of it, right? We're doing that.
Will's been to my studio here.
I know. I haven't been.
Might even be in a new studio next week.
Oh, interesting.
For flip's sake. What? Yeah. Stop moving. Are you going to take
in the same building? Or
are you going to take your fake brick wall with you?
Yes. I'm going to be taking all the fake brick walls. In fact, I've got a brick wall, a white painted brick wall that looks more real than Will's real white brick wall that he films in front of. But no, the studio that I'm in, unfortunately, there's a lot of building work that's taking place. I'm above a cinema in Leicester City Centre, right. And that cinema is being extended because of all the
nights
out.
So it's not the film sound that you're hearing.
No, it is generally pneumatic drills, groundworks, and the like.
So you're thinking move up a level?
I have
get some sucker in below you who's going to suck up all
this.
That noise.
So I'm moving up. And it's a larger studio, but it's further away from the noisy corner of the building. So, yeah, we'll see. Fingers crossed that all works out. And I'll be in a bit of a quieter, but albeit a bit of a larger space. Not that I need it, because there's just me in a room that's large enough for 8 to 10 people to work in. But, hey, you know what? I like a bit of space. What can I say?
How's your charging point?
My charging point at home, my home charger, fantastic. It is an Anderson A2. It is not the cheapest charging point out there, but it's the best looking. It fits in, you know, it's the property that I live in. It's in a conservation area opposite some listed buildings. It's a 150-year-old building. And, you know, sticking this bit of 1980s looking sci-fi tech on the side of it isn't really in keeping. So this one comes with, you know, wooden paneling, and it's convenient.
It
looks good.
The aesthetics I was after, it was more that you let your neighbors use it sometimes. How does that work?
Okay, no, I can tell you that when you buy an electric car, the first thing that someone tells you is download an app. Download the app called Zap Map. Now, this is the kind of the de facto database of charging points around the country. And if you're on the go anywhere and you need a quick top up, then it will tell you how much it costs, whether they're available. It's crowdsourced, so people will tell you if any of the chargers are broken or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you can also, if you own a charger at your home or workplace or whatever, you can put that on there and invite people, if you so wish, to come and charge using your charger. So I thought, well, you know what? The electric vehicle community at the moment is a friendly old place. I feel like giving something back, and I would like to hope that if I got stuck in the middle of nowhere without a charger, that someone would help me out.
So you don't charge people to use it. You literally...
Well, yes and no. Right. I charge people what it costs me.
Okay. And that's all through the app? And that's...
Well, no. They get in touch. So I put my details in this app. And then they WhatsApp me, call me, message me.
And they just then send you the cash for...
And through the charger app that I have, I get pretty good analytics. I can see exactly when they've charged. I can lock and unlock the charger remotely. And I send them a screenshot. How it's worked recently is I will send them a screenshot to say, yep, this is when you charge. This is how many kilowatt hours of energy you used. This is my unit cost. Here's my PayPal address. Zap it over.
I see. So it's not automated anyway. It's not like you unlock it, they log in, it then just sends them a bill.
No, it's certainly not that integrated yet, but there are services that are trying to do that. But given that there are, you know, dozens of different electric vehicle chargers at the moment, finding that integration is a little bit difficult.
Because what I'm wondering is, my neighbour has a driveway and he's very interested in getting an electric car, so whether he gets that and a charger, whether we can use his as well.
Perhaps. Mm. Like I say, that there are...
If he gets it on the Zap Map app.
Given that charging is really the hot topic of electric vehicle ownership and usage, it wouldn't surprise me if there were more apps, more services that enabled people to club together and to share a domestic charger if not everyone on the street's able to have one on their own premises.
I feel like I may have asked this before, David. Can you have wireless charging on an electric vehicle?
In lab conditions and in testing, yes. Right. In practice, we're not there at all yet.
How about charging your iPhone from your car? Does that decrease your range?
So you can. That I test drove a car towards the end of last year, the Ioniq 5, the Hyundai Ioniq 5, and that has got kind of reverse usage. So you're used to plugging something in. It's called V2L or vehicle to load.
This is the one that Rory did a video on. He powered a washing machine.
You can power a washing machine. It's just got a 13-amp plug socket. 13-amp plug socket. And you can... So, I mean, in theory, what you can do is that you can download some energy to your vehicle when it's cheap and then resupply energy to your house at peak times during the day when energy is a lot more expensive. It's a crazy idea in many ways, but people think that this may well be the future. And you know what? They may know more about this than I do, but as far as I'm concerned, transferring energy from one source to another,
you lose
some energy anyway through heat and so on. So
I always said I wanted Apple to do this. So if you had like an iPad and a phone, right, and you had
to have a reverse charge,
you could recharge your phone from your iPad or your friend.
Yes, how? But then someone raised a good point of this. If Apple put reverse charging in all iPhones and someone said, give us a bit of your charge, and you'd be like, I don't want to give you some of my charge. Oh, go on, give us some of your charge. You've got loads of charge. And what are the etiquette around offering, giving, and receiving charge?
You'd have to lock it down so only Apple devices logged in with your Apple ID. It was only compatible within your Apple ID so that you could charge your iPad from your phone or your phone from your iPad or vice versa.
I am currently charging my iPhone from my iPad.
But with a cable.
Oh, yes, with a cable. Mm. Sorry, I didn't realise we were talking about wireless here.
But we're talking about wireless.
No, I mean,
you weren't talking wireless. You were just talking cable.
Yeah.
Yep, no, that is currently charging from my
iPad. Since when was that a thing? What?
I couldn't put a date on it, but that is certainly a thing. And...
No, stop, that's probably from
an iPad Pro. Have you got
a Pro? Just casually drop that in. Is that an Apple certified cable or your
own USB-C? Yes, it is. Lightning cable, I would say.
It is a USB-C. However, I have an iPad Mini here, 2021 iPad Mini. I'm about to see if I can charge my...
Is that also USB-C?
It is also USB-C.
So you can't go lightning?
No, I don't know that's such a cable.
Yeah.
So it's a USB-C thing?
It's a USB-C... Well... It needs USB-C because a lightning-to-lightning cable, I don't know that exists. I'm pretty sure it doesn't.
You'll probably get one at Alibaba, but whether it works...
No, but you'd need something, because if you had a device A and device B and you had a lightning-to-lightning cable, how would it know if A was meant to charge B or B was meant to charge A?
Yeah, how does it know which to charge, David?
Well, one of them's lightning, and that's not going to be supplying any charges.
Right.
Say that again?
So it never takes charge from the phone to the iPad?
I can't think that would be the case. I'd need to look up the spec sheet, and I don't have that to hand.
Which has the most charge at the moment?
Oh, my iPad is on 100% because I've been using one of my favourite apps that you may never have seen, Studio Clock GX 2020. This is a full-on studio... Get rid of that. Full-on studio clock, which I use when I'm working, when I'm interviewing. It's just a very quick view of the time, like you see in TV studios all over the shop. Speaking of charging, I have some breaking news. You asked me a few moments ago what happened on my MagSafe Duo travel charger if I happen to use something that isn't a 20-watt charger. And I can tell you that if I put my watch on there, it'll charge the watch. If I put my phone on there, it'll charge the phone.
Have you put them both on?
If I put them both on there, no. So it'll only seems to charge one at a time, I'm afraid.
Right, which then removes the advantage of having a single thing to charge both.
Fully charged.
There we go.